Programs had been printed for the farewell to Judge Reuben Atlee. Ray studied his intently because he didn't wish to look around the gathering. All eyes were on him and Forrest. Reverend Palmer delivered a windy prayer. Ray had insisted that the ceremony be brief. There was a funeral tomorrow. The Boy Scouts stepped forward with the flag and led the congregation in the Pledge of Allegiance. Then Sister Olita Schumpert from the Holy Ghost Church of God in Christ stepped forward and sang a mournful rendition of Shall We Gather at the River, a cappella, because she certainly didn't need any support. The words and melody brought tears to the eyes of many, including Forrest, who stayed close to his brother's shoulder with his chin low. Standing next to the casket, listening to her rich voice echo upward through the rotunda, Ray for the first time felt the burden of his father's death. He thought of all the things they could have done together now that they were men, all the things they had not done when he and Forrest were just boys. But he had lived his life and the judge had lived his, and this had suited them both. It wasn't fair now to relive the past just because the old man was dead. He kept telling himself this. It was only natural at death to wish he had done more. But the truth was that the judge had carried a grudge for years after Ray left Clanton. And sadly, he had become a recluse since leaving the bench. A moment of weakness, and Ray stiffened his back. He would not beat himself up because he had chosen a path that was not the one his father wanted. Harry Rex began what he promised would be a brief eulogy. "Today we gather here to say goodbye to an old friend," he began. "We all knew this day was coming, and we all prayed it would never get here." He hit the highlights of the judge's career, then told of his first appearance in front of the great man 30 years ago, when Harry Rex was fresh out of law school. He was handling an uncontested divorce, which he somehow managed to lose. Every lawyer had heard the story 100 times, but they still managed a good laugh at the appropriate time. Ray glanced at them, then began studying them as a group. How could one small town have so many lawyers? He knew about half of them. Many of the old ones he had known as a child and as a student were either dead or retired. Many of the younger ones he had never seen before. Of course, they all knew him. He was Judge Atlee's boy. Ray was slowly realizing that his speedy exit from Clanton after the funeral would only be temporary. He would be forced to return very soon, to make a brief court appearance with Harry Rex and begin probate, to prepare an inventory and do a half dozen other duties as executor of his father's estate. That would be easy and routine and take just a few days. But weeks and perhaps months were looming out there as he tried to solve the mystery of the money. Did one of those lawyers over there know something? The money had to originate from a judicial setting, didn't it? The judge had no life outside of the law. Looking at them, though, Ray could not imagine a source rich enough to generate the kind of money now hidden in the trunk of his little car. They were small-town ham-and-egg lawyers, all scrambling to pay their bills and out-hustle the guy next door. There was no real money over there. The Sullivan firm had 8 or 9 lawyers who represented the banks and insurance companies, and they earned just enough to hang out with the doctors at the country club. There wasn't a lawyer in the county with serious cash. Irv Chamberlain, over there with the thick eyeglasses and bad hairpiece, owned thousands of acres handed down through generations. But he couldn't sell it because there were no buyers. Plus, it was rumored he was spending time at the new casinos in Tunica. As Harry Rex droned on, Ray dwelt on the lawyers. Someone shared the secret. Someone knew about the money. Could it be a distinguished member of the Ford County Bar? Harry Rex's voice began to break, and it was time to quit. He thanked them all for coming and announced that the judge would lie in state in the courthouse until 10 p.m. He directed the procession to begin where Ray and Forrest were standing. The crowd moved obediently to the east wing and formed a line that snaked its way outside. For an hour, Ray was forced to smile and shake hands and graciously thank everyone for coming. He listened to dozens of brief stories about his father and the lives the great man had touched. He pretended to remember the names of all those who knew him. He hugged old ladies he had never met before. The procession moved slowly by Ray and Forrest, then to the casket where each person would stop and gaze forlornly at the judge's bad portrait, then to the west wing where registers were waiting. Harry Rex moved about, working the crowd like a politician. At some point during the ordeal, Forrest disappeared. He mumbled something to Harry Rex about going home, to Memphis, and something about being tired of death. Finally, Harry Rex whispered to Ray, "There's a line around the courthouse. You could be here all night." "Get me out of here," Ray whispered back. "You need to go to the restroom?" Harry Rex asked, just loud enough for those next in line to hear. "Yes," Ray said, already stepping away. They eased back, whispering importantly, and ducked into a narrow hallway. Seconds later, they emerged behind the courthouse. They drove away in Ray's car, of course, first circling the square and taking in the scene. The flag in front of the courthouse was at half-mast. A large crowd waited patiently to pay their respects to the judge.